Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I am Kathy Holloway Hill, and you have me for the next 30 minutes, and I'm so thrilled, and I'm going to tell you why. I am kicking off a series called Transforming Your Life, and I am so thrilled that I have one of the best guests on the globe to help me kick it off this evening. I have the author of Get Off Your Attitude. And I'm telling you, that pretty much says it all. Because if we can't get off our attitude, we can't do anything with our lives. We can't make any changes. We can't do anything because we're stuck and everybody is to blame and everything is to blame and our past is, we're a victim of our past and blah, blah, on and on. So we are going to kick this off with a bang and I'm so very excited to have our guest tonight. And I just want to share with you a quote that I ran across today, and I absolutely loved it because it really does say it all, and it helps us to kick off this show in the most positive way because it is all about attitude. Albert Einstein, this is a quote by Albert Einstein, and he said, "We can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we use when we created them." I love it. Absolutely love it. And that is so very true because we're always thinking that it's someone else's fault or something hadn't happened to us, circumstances, situations, people, we would be better off. So I'm going to go ahead and bring my guest on the line. I am so excited to have here on the Living by Design show, Mr. Ryan C. Lowe. Ryan, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing amazing. How are you?
The same. Absolutely the same. I am so thrilled. I tell you, I'm going to have to just say this. I have your book in my hand, and I basically have not put it down since I got it. This book is phenomenal. As a matter of fact, I want you to give my listeners right now before we get started, because I know we're going to get so deep into this, I want you to give your website so that they can go and get this book.
Okay, my book, the website is getoffyourattitude.com, very simple, and any book orders that come through my website, they also get the famous Get Off Your Attitude bracelet to go with it for free, and the bracelet has been a big hit here where I live in the Louisiana area. I've had professional athletes wear it, college players wear it, and it's a great reminder, like you said at the beginning of the show, that every day we need to get off our attitude.
Yes, absolutely. I've been wearing it, too. When you sent the book, thank you so much for the bracelet, because I've been wearing it, too, in my seminars. And it really is a great talking piece, because people are asking me, oh, what is that? Let me see. And I start talking about your book. And so I'm really promoting you, because I love this book. Ugh.
I appreciate that very much.
Well, you know what, Ryan? I am the type of person that I love what you stand for, because I can relate to so many things that you said in your book. And I'm just going to jump right in here and talk about one of the I have several things written here, but one of the things that really struck me and stuck out for me is how we allow other people to define us.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what you said about sometimes we can be defined by our failures. Oh, my goodness. That was just so, just, it's just really amazing how you phrase that. So talk a little bit about, because I know you talk a lot about it in your book, but for those who don't have your book yet and they're listening here, talk to our listeners a little bit about how we get stuck in being defined by our failures.
Well, a lot of times, I wrote a chapter in the book called Get Past Your Past, and that's a lot of times what happens is, even myself, we look backwards to create our future, because all we can, as humans, all we can do is look at the experiences we've been through, and it's very hard to use our imagination, to use our positive thinking to get out of that rut that we're stuck in and to get past what maybe somebody said about us, something that we, a mistake that we might have made, a failure that we've gone through. Most people will take those things with them as long as they can. I heard one speaker say it's like carrying baggage to the airport. You know, a lot of people have a lot of baggage, and some people just have a few bags. And a lot of times that's what we do. We get stuck to where we don't make the right decisions. We don't want to move forward. We don't want to think positive about what can come in our lives, because we always have, like I said, those positive or those negative thoughts, negative feedback from maybe somebody had told us, or just a failure that we've had in our life.
Yeah, that is so true. And then the statistics also show that over 85% of people who are in day jobs or corporate jobs or workplace jobs or however you want to describe it, they are unhappy. They hate their work. So even if you have a dream or you have goals outside of the workplace, sometimes just going into work can just really cause people to define themselves by the toxic environments that they go to at work every day.
I'll tell you, I'm the first person I lived that when I was writing this book.
Me too.
I came up with Get Off Your Attitude at one of the lowest points in my life. I was the vice president of a national insurance company that I built from ground floor with a friend of mine. We built it within 2.5 years. It was a dream to be an entrepreneur, a business owner. And within less than 6 months, it all kind of blew up on us. And so when I moved back to Louisiana, I was living in Dallas, Texas. I moved back to Louisiana with that position. Well, it all went to pieces, and I had to find a job. So I've been in sales since I was 16 years old. So a friend of mine told me about a job, a sales job. So it was entry level, barely paying anything. You know, I was like, well, I'll just take it. I got to pay the bills. And I can't tell you how that motivated me to write this book, because I was so negative. I was stuck in my moment. I was stuck in that rut that we talked about. I was aggravated. I was blaming everybody else. I was so negative that you wouldn't want to be around me. I mean, I was just throwing that pity party that, you know, and I remember going to my work every day with this dream of get off your attitude. Now, I remember when it came to me, like I said, I was really in a negative state of mind. And these four words, get off your attitude, just kept coming to me in the middle of the night. And I never forget waking up in the middle of the night saying, okay, what is this? Where did I hear it? Was it a seminar, a book? Where did I hear this from? And I didn't hear it anywhere. I Googled it. I went through books, seminars, CDs that I have. Nobody said it. And I went to GoDaddy.com and bought the domains, and they were available. And that's a surprise as well. And I knew that was my new mantra, because I was going through a tough time. And one of the things was I was in a job that was very toxic, very negative, and it was a step back for me after being vice president of a company, owning my own company, and then going into an entry-level sales job. So that's what Get Off Your Attitude's about, is not really looking where you're at the moment, but having that, getting out of that rut, having that imagination, being resourceful and using what you got to get out of that rut.
Exactly. That is so, so very true, because, I mean, you could easily have, and let me say this first before I move on. You mentioned that you kept hearing this get off your attitude. It kept coming up. You kept waking up in the middle of the night, not wondering, not understanding, where did it come from? Why do I keep hearing this? Well, that was all about your faith, okay? That was all about your Heavenly Father speaking to you. And I'm definitely going to get to that, but I'm going to close the show out on that because that's the most powerful piece that I want to leave my listeners with. But that's exactly where that came from. That was your mantra. This book I'm holding in my hand is a masterpiece, and that's what it was supposed to be. That's why it was given to you that way. And thank God that you were smart enough and savvy enough and got off your attitude enough that you listened and you were obedient.
Yep. And that's the thing, and that's another part. That's a whole other animal of this, is I could have stayed in that rut. I could have stayed at that job sitting at a cubicle and pointing the finger at the economy and the way things are going, and it fueled me. And I kept telling myself every day to get off my attitude. I would just tell myself that. Every time I would have a negative thought, a negative feeling, a negative idea, I would be like, no, can't think like that. Okay, Ryan, come on, we got to stay focused. And not every day is a great day. I mean, we go through that, but that's what get off your attitude is about, is telling yourself when you're going through that negative state of mind, or you can't see the end of the big picture, having that vision, that you are in charge. And, and my faith plays a large role in that, absolutely.
And you know, I want you, too, Ryan, to talk a little bit about when you had to take that sales job because your entrepreneurial business had failed and it had went under, and so you had to pay the bills, like you said. And there are a lot of people out there who are in that exact same position. But the difference in what you did and where they are stuck right now is that you did not allow your past failure or your past experience, I don't even like to call it failures, but you didn't allow your past experience with that previous entrepreneurial situation to cause you not to move on get off your attitude. So how did you pull the strength out not to keep going back and keep saying, well, it didn't happen before, and I don't want to be disappointed again. Well, I making excuses because you had previously already experienced something that didn't work out.
Well, the way I look at life a lot differently than most people. I look at life as it's almost kind of like Walt. It's like Disney World. My little niece and nephew are at Disney World this week, and they keep sending pictures and stuff, and so it reminds me of that, because it's almost like everything that you come across is an adventure, and you're not always going to win. As much as you want, as much as you try, you're not always going to win. But the way you do win is what you learn from that experience. And I think Zig Ziglar said it was, failure is an event, and it's not the end-all, be-all. And I learned that at a young age when you read my book, when I got shot in high school.
My goodness.
I was shot with a 12-gauge shotgun and went through treatment and almost lost my arm, almost died. I mean, coming through that, it just reminded me, and other things, good and bad. I mean, graduating college, that's an event, and failing at business, that's an event. But you keep moving, you keep going forward, and you don't let those past, even those past successes burn you. Because I was going to an entry-level sales job. Before that, I was a national sales trainer for Brian Tracy Seminars. I was the vice president at 28 of a mortgage company. I was the vice president of a national insurance company. I didn't even let my successes get in my way, knowing that I had to go take this job, because most people would have been like, well, how could you go backwards when, you are going up the ladder of success? Well, sometimes that ladder dips, and sometimes you have to go backwards, take a step backwards to go 100 steps forwards, and that's how I feel. I feel failures and successes are just events, and you have to keep moving. You have to keep moving forward.
And that is so true, and also failures and events are necessary because there's some element of a lesson that is part of that situation. And if we could just recognize it like that and not view it as, oh, it's a failure and, oh, I'll never get where I'm trying to go and all of those types of things, and see it as a necessary piece of our growth. Because everything we go through, it helps us to be better when we take that next step up on that ladder.
Absolutely. And it's even stranger for me writing that book because there are stories in that book that I learned from throughout, you know, growing up, from my grandmother, from college, from friends that you'll see in that book that I would have never thought, you know, in a million years I'd be putting in a book, but at, you know, at that time when I was going through them. So, yeah, everything that you go through, my big thing is, what are you going to learn from it? What are you going to take away from it? And if you don't take away anything, you're allowing it not to teach you something. And I think that's where most people fail, and that's why they go through it over and over and over again.
Right. Oh, yes, yes, yes. There are so many people, because I actually started out as a life coach. And I don't do life coaching quite as much anymore, only because, you know, my business is growing, and, you know, there's more demand for other pieces, other revenue streams. And, you know, when I was going through the life coaching and I was hearing people talk about their problems and their issues and all of these things, they just did not understand that these things had to happen. People come into your lives to leave. And, you know, everyone is not meant to come into your life to stay. And situations happen so that you can learn from the situation. If you don't learn from the situation, you're going to keep repeating it over and over and over and over and over, like Groundhog Day, that movie that came out years ago. And that's no way to live life. And there's so many people who just don't understand that, Ryan. They just they don't get it.
Yeah, and just like what you said before, that people come in and out of your life, there was a poem that I wrote that I put in that book that I didn't write, but I referenced in the book. People come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime.
Yes.
And when you realize that even along the way when I was writing this book, God had put different people in my life, a publisher, an editor, somebody to design my logo, the cover of my book. I mean, these people came in right at the right time for me moving forward, and I stay in touch with those people, but that was what they were there for.
That's right.
And you might get a phone call from a friend, or, you know, like today, I was walking into a library today to go work on my next book, and a gentleman stopped me when I was walking in and was like, I saw you speak a couple of months ago in New Orleans, and I said, oh, I hope you enjoyed it. And, I mean, he just raved about the seminar and how much he loved. He thought I was the best speaker and all that kind of stuff. And that's just my idea. That's just God giving you that fuel to keep going. And and that's when we have to pay attention when people come into our lives. Absolutely.
Yes, yes. And I just want to talk for a minute about self-love, because I know you talked a lot about you really do have to pull from that inner strength that we all possess, and we just can't get caught up in the external package that we're housed in. I mean, because we are a vessel, and we have to take care of our bodies, and you have a section in your book where you talk about having a wealth of health. I like the way you put that, having a wealth of health, and there's so many, especially women, I don't mean to pick on women, but we do. Women get caught up in that external package and how we look, and we get caught up in the media opinions of what we look like. And you mentioned in your book how you got caught up in not liking your height when you were growing up. And that really resonated. Well, it resonated with me, Ryan, because I was in the exact same boat on the opposite end. You got caught up in disliking your height because you were short. I got caught up in disliking my height because I was tall and skinny, and I just felt like that was just such a liability, and it was just, oh, it was just so awful, and I just look like this big, giant, gargantuan type of person, this Amazon woman that's just so unattractive. And I'm listening to the media talk about how you're supposed to look like this and you're supposed to look like that. And if you're this height and this size and this weight, you'll be better and all of these things. And we should not get caught up in that, because our physical body houses the real, true inner essence of who we are, and that's our soul.
Right, right, absolutely. I'm a big believer in health. I'm a big believer. I run and work out and all that, but I do that for me. It makes me feel better. When I was younger, I did it for others, and I tried to make up for that being short, because all my friends were, I mean, I'm 5'9", and most of my friends are 6 foot, or, you know, 5'11", or whatever.
And you know 5'9 is average height. You know that, right? It's average height for a man.
That's average height, absolutely. But growing up, I was always the shorter guy. I wasn't the biggest guy. And it was one of those things that kept me in the gym and all that kind of stuff. And I think we go through that with everything in life. We always find that one thing that we're not happy about, and that's what sticks in our head. And it could be, you know, I mean, I've always, my fiance laughs at me because, like, we just got back from a trip, and I can walk out on the beach in 5 minutes, I'm tan. And it takes her 2 hours to get a tan. And, you know, when I was younger, I was like, I don't like being dark, but now I love being dark. So, you know, it's just the way your perspective on things and the way you look at things now. You know what? This is my height. I have no problem with my height. It is what it is, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you. I mean, like I said, I used to hate my height. I used to wear flat shoes all the time because I'm so tall. I'm 6 feet tall, and, you know, for a female to be that tall, it's, you know, people stare at you. And you know, anymore, I came to grips with it. Hey, it is what it is. God gave it to me. I appreciate it. I love it. I put my heels on. Hey, if I'm 6'2", 6'3", whatever.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Get Off Your Attitude is. I mean, if you notice in every chapter, what I did is I broke it down to different really specific areas in our life, our health, our money, time, our friends, the people that we're around, our goals and dreams, and then much more, and, you know, our attitude of gratitude and our attitude of helping others. And those are things that I pick the most important things that I think we need to get off our attitude about. And I think health is one of them. I think a lot of people don't realize how important health is most people realize health when it's too late. And I think that's when people need to realize that they need to focus on the positive and not the negative of that.
That's right. That's right. I want to just touch on the dream snatcher. Only because, I don't know if you didn't call it dream snatchers. What did you call it in your book?
Dream busters.
Dream busters. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
dream
it.
Busters.
Yep. Dream busters. Yeah. Yes. Because, you know, they come in all different forms. There are people who absolutely just want to throw a negative into whatever you say about your dream. And then there are the people who, well, it's okay what you did, but I would have done it this way. They always have their own opinion about what you should be doing with your business, even though you're doing fine, but they just want to have a say in it.
Right, right. And it's great to have people that way. I'm a big believer in the chapter right before. It's called Soar to Eagles.
I love that part. The eagles and the owls. Talk about the eagles and the owls. Yeah, I love that. I love that.
And both of those chapters coincide together because my big thing is that I love getting around people like yourself. I need to be around people that think big, dream big, that understand that, yeah, there are small components of going after your dream. Like, I call goals the building blocks of dreams, and that's exactly what they are. If you have smaller goals, and that's what's going to build to your dream. But a lot of people look at a big dream, like, let's say, for example, writing a book. When I first started this, most people were like, oh, my gosh, that's a big task. You've never wrote a book before. Who are you to write a book? I know you were in speaking. Do you know how many motivational speakers are out there? I'm like, you know what? They don't have my book. They don't have my message. And they won't deliver it like I'm going to deliver it. And that was my attitude going through that. I had people tell me, oh, you don't need to get into that, and all kind of things. And I noticed while writing this book, I just had to let people go. We talked about that before. It's one of the hardest things to do is let people go. And I just let those people go, and I got around the positive people. I lost some friends. And you know what? My deal was, if they weren't on board with me, then guess what? I don't need to be around them. And
that's
I can find those positive people in my life, those eagles. And where that came from, and I already had wrote the chapter down, Soar to Eagles. And I would never forget, I was in a coffee shop writing, and this gentleman walked in, and we started talking, and he said, you know what, I saw a motivational speaker once, and he said, you can't soar with the eagles during the day if you're bumming around with the owls at night.
Mm.
And it hit me like a ton of bricks. Because my deal was that I looked at the people that I was hanging around with, and I was like, whoa, I got to make some changes here. I need to get around people that are in this business, that have done very well for themselves, that have overcome adversity. I don't need to be around the owls, the dream busters, telling me that I can't do it. Who are you to write a book? Who are you to be a motivational speaker? Who are you to do any of that? And what's
absolutely
funny now
and you know, and another piece of that too is even people in the business, Ryan. I like being around people in the business who are walking their talk. There are so many people out there who call themselves motivational speakers but don't follow them home because you don't know what you may find.
Right, absolutely. Yep, I agree with you on that as well. You know, and my book is basically things that I learned through life that I learned from other speakers, I learned from family members, I learned from friends, and I compiled all that in there, and my goal was this. If I could pull myself out of my pity party and pull myself out of my, you know, away from the negative thinking and all that, then I could help others. And that's exactly what God put into me was write my book, put all the stories and all the principles that I learned, that I love, that I believe in into this book, but use them on a daily basis, then that is the way I can help others get off their attitude. And that's what I try to do. I try to just explain to people, and you asked about the chapter with Dream Busters. The name of that chapter is Dream Out Loud, and what that means is to go after your dreams. Let people know about them. Let people know what you're going to do, but be careful with them. Treat them as children, and you wouldn't let people talk bad about your children. Don't let people talk bad about your dreams. And go after whatever you want, because one of my favorite chapters is get on with it. And the reason for that, chapter is because a lot of us, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. Oh, you know, that dream, I'll do that when all my ducks in a row. I'll go to college. I'll finish college when all the kids graduate, or I'll finish college once I get some money. No, you got to do it now. You can't sit around and wait. And with the way I opened that chapter was, is you have to, we don't live on this earth very long. We have this mindset, this poor attitude of, oh, I'm going to live forever. And a lot of times people die with dreams in them. People, you know, they never fulfill their dreams. And you know who really gets robbed of that? All of us, because you could be amazed. We would be amazed, you know, the amazing things that are out there. People would have just went after their dreams.
Well, you know, I don't know if you've heard it said before, and I'm not really sure who this quote came from because I like to give credit for quotes, but you've heard the quote that the richest place on the globe, the richest place on the planet is the graveyard.
No, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, because you if you ask a person, what do you think is the richest place on the planet? Well, they'll say Dubai and, you know, all these types of things. And it's actually the graveyard, because so many people die with million-dollar, billion-dollar ideas in their heads that they never, ever bring into reality. They just die with billion-dollar ideas. So
And that's really the thing, is if people could just get past of what somebody says, if somebody could just get past, and it's hard. It's not easy. It's very hard. I mean, I had a gentleman write a review of my book, and he didn't like my book. Oh, great. Keep moving forward.
Exactly.
My book's not going to be for everybody, but it'll be for the majority and the people that are looking for that message. That's what.
Well, I can tell you this. I can definitely see, get off your negativity. I can see get off your procrastination. I can see this being another chicken soup for the soul when all of those other ones came behind it. Chicken soup for the mother soul, chicken soup for the child soul. And I could see this get off your fill in the blank, because there are so many things people need to get off of. Attitude is a great one. Negativity is another one. I mean, there's tons. Ryan, the sky's the limit for you.
I appreciate that.
It really, really is. And believe it or not, we're coming up on our last minute of the show. I knew that was going to happen. I knew we were going to really just run down fast to the end. I'm going to have you back, Ryan.
Oh, I'd love it. I would love to come back. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So I want you to just take us out with something very uplifting and motivational about your faith, because I want to end with that. So 30 seconds, 20 seconds, if you could give us something really quick to end the show.
Something about faith. One of the things my faith healed me by writing this book, and my faith I call it syncing like an iPod, syncing with God. And once you get on the right path with Him, and you get focused with Him, and you listen to Him, you will be amazed at things that will come true for you. And you said it best. This wasn't my book. This is His book. And his book, I look back at it, and there's ideas, quotes, and things that I wrote myself, but I know it came from him, and I know Get Off Your Attitude came from him. And I was
Absolutely.
At the lowest point, and I just knew that I needed to do something, and I knew that being a speaker is what I wanted to. That was my dream that he gave me a long time ago, and I knew that Get Off Your Attitude would be able to help me. And if I could do it myself and have him help me, then I can go out and help others. And that's
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you so much, Ryan C. Lowe. You've been a phenomenal guest, and we're definitely going to have you back. And we are going to sign off for now on the Living by Design show. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill, my guest Ryan C. Lowe. We'll be back again, so look for it, look for it. We'll see you same time next week here on the Living by Design show. Good night, everyone.